Let's turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the New Testament and to the book of Acts and the chapter 26. We read from verses 22 to the verse 32. Come, let us hear the Word of God. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Amen. Thus far the reading of Holy Sacred Scripture. And we pray that the Lord himself will come in for us and reveal his word to our very needful souls this evening. We turn again in the Word of God to that portion of God's holy word that I read in your hearing just a few moments ago. The book of Acts, chapter 26, the verses 22 to the verse 32. Now, dear friends, as we come to these words this evening, the events and the words spoken here concern the great apostle Paul. As he is the apostle to the Gentiles, God has commissioned him in the book of Acts. He was converted in Acts chapter 9. He was converted to Jesus Christ. He is an apostle because he was an eyewitness of the Lord. Do you know what the qualifications are to be an apostle? It's quite remarkable today that we have so-called apostles. One of the qualifications of an apostle is that you be an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have seen him personally. And of course, the Apostle Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ personally. In 1 Corinthians 15, in the verse 8, he speaks of himself and he speaks of all the others who are apostles. And he says of himself, who was the last apostle, and last of all, he was seen of me. Christ was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Now, what does he mean? As one born out of due time. He was an apostle born out of due time. He was not an apostle born out of the time that the others were. The Lord saw them and he said, Come, follow me, and I will make ye fishers of men. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, the apostle was brought to Jesus Christ. There was a vision. There was an appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was on the road to Damascus, in the business of persecuting Christians, ready to put many in jail, in prison. And he was born out of due time. He was an apostle because he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a blinding light in which he tells us about in this very passage here of Acts chapter 26. He saw the Lord. There was this great light that appeared, and over his eyes were like these scales, fish scales, for many days. Now, who would have ever have conceived that the Lord himself would have saved a wretch of a man such as Paul? Before he was converted, the greatest enemy of the church. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He went about persecuting the church. And he said he was the chief of sinners because he went about persecuting the church. Who would ever have conceived that the Lord would have made him the apostle and witness to the Gentiles? But you see, therein lies the grace of God. God does it, you see, that his enemies, he can subdue them and he can make them great ambassadors for his kingdom. Now this solemn scene that is before us here in Acts chapter 26 takes place in the year approximately AD 59. And the apostle, as you know, if you were to read the previous chapters, he has been hunted down by the Jewish religious leaders, and as a result, they brought him to the great high priest Ananias. And we read in Acts 22 verses 2 and 3 that Ananias commanded these Jews that stood by to smite the apostle Paul on the mouth. And then Paul said to him, that is to Ananias, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. He was a hypocrite. He was washed up on the outside, a religious leader like all the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were whitewashed sepulchres. But inside, these religious zealots, they were dead men. They were spiritually dead, darkened to the things of God. And so the chief captain of the temple sent Paul to Felix. He was taken from Ananias. He is then sent to Felix. But Felix, as we read in Acts chapter 24 and verse 27, left Paul bound in chains. And here he is still in chains. And here the apostle Paul is before a man by the name of Festus, the procurator. And not only him, but there is also this man, King Agrippa. And now he is brought before King Agrippa. Agrippa was in the area visiting with Bernice, and Agrippa hears about the Apostle Paul, that he's been arrested. And he wants to hear a little bit about his case, why he's been arrested, why the Jews think he is a troublemaker. Now, King Agrippa was a tetrarch, and that is a title. That is, he was a ruler in the region under the governors of Rome. Of course, this whole area was ruled by Rome, Caesar, and these various kings, these tetrarchs, all answered to the great Caesar. Now, if you look at this passage here, Paul is shortly going to be sent to Rome, and he has to appear because he is demanded, as a Roman citizen, to have a fair trial. And of course, the Jews are not going to treat him very fairly, are they? They already have vowed, many of them, to put him to death. Many of them took this vow that they won't eat again until he's killed. Now, one wonders whether they went through with that vow. We have here Paul standing before Festus and before King Agrippa. Now, there is a problem. The governor and King Agrippa, they have to work out what to say to Caesar. Remember, the Jews have arrested Paul, and he's now in the hands of the Romans. But they have to work out what to say to Caesar, because this all has to look legitimate. This all has to look real. Was it a false arrest? Have they got something against him? It has to be lawful. It has to be legitimate. So these two men here question him. And lastly, it is indeed Agrippa. And as you know, what would happen, Paul would eventually go to Rome and he would be executed. He'd spend 2 years there and he'd be executed. So now this chapter here mainly deals with the Apostle Paul as he speaks to King Agrippa. Have a look, verse 28. And that really is my text. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, this word here, almost, the Greek word, oligos, and that really means few. So in other words, he's saying, in a little while, I'm almost a Christian. Very shortly, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. If I linger on any longer, I'll be a Christian. So I want to say something by way of introduction. This is a statement that King Agrippa makes. Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, some translations, for instance, the NIV, puts it this way. It reads, then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? This is a completely different meaning, isn't it? And really, when you study the Greek here, it is not a question. I submit to you that the Authorized Version is correct here. The ESV reads very similar to the NIV. ESV says, "And Agrippa said to Paul, 'In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?'" Question mark. But I'll show you another version. I'll give you another version that doesn't accord with those two versions, that accords more with what is being said here in the Authorized. I believe the translators of the Authorized Version have got it correct. "In a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian." And that's the NASB, New American Standard Bible. Now, of course, we don't use that translation. We believe that the Authorized Version is the best and the most accurate translation. And really, when you study the Greek here, it is not a question. Agrippa is making a very clear statement. "In a little while, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." So you see, our translations make a big difference to the way that we view the text. It's so important, dear friends, that we have the best translation. Now, there's the great question. Why did King Agrippa not become a Christian? And that's what I want to look at this evening. Now, obviously, salvation is of the Lord. We can say that. We do know this, that within salvation, it is God that worketh in us to will and to bring us to that point. Salvation is of the Lord. Yet there are responsibilities. And you see here that King Agrippa does not take up certain responsibilities, though he's given all the evidence, all the compelling evidence there could be as to why he should repent, why he should follow the Lord. And I will show you a number of reasons why, humanly speaking, he does not want to become a Christian. It's a question of the will. And this is something we need to pray most earnestly about. Don't ever accuse God, and never say to him, if you are such a one, that it is something that God, well, I'll leave it up to him. Well, you can't do that. He had no reason. He had been given all the compelling evidence to be a Christian. And yet, he does not repent. He does not yield himself to Jesus Christ. And that, I would put it to you, is the primary reason why people do not become Christians. They don't yield, they don't repent. And it's easy to say, well, God has not given me a heart to repent. And that would be perfectly accurate. But it still does not legitimize the sin, human will, this carnal mind that is enmity with God. And you will see this is the reason, because his heart is enmity with God. I want to give you, just before we start, and I show you four things here, four compelling reasons why King Agrippa should be a Christian. And I want to put it to you this evening, if you are not a Christian. I want to put you in the shoes of King Agrippa. And I want you to think about these things. But let me give you a bit of background to King Agrippa. He was a very unusual man. He was brought up and educated in the court of Caesar Claudius. People thought he was a madman. King Agrippa himself, and you've got to understand the Roman Empire at this stage, he set himself up in the Roman Empire to be a ruler of the Jewish people. And so what that entailed was this: he became a Jewish proselyte. That is, he studied the Old Testament, he became a Jew, he followed Jewish practice and so on. But you see, all of that was driven by prestige and power. He became a Jew because he wanted to be a ruler in this region. He wanted that, and he knew in order to get that, he had to get the favor of the Jews. So he became a proselyte. So he was driven by prestige and power. Now I want you to notice with me as we look very briefly, we'll walk through some verses here of chapter 26. I want you to notice how the Apostle Paul spoke about the validity of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was actually promised in the Old Testament long, long, long ago. And you see, that is very relevant because King Agrippa had studied the Old Testament. He knew these things. And Paul points to that in this passage of Scripture. Look at the verse 6. Notice particularly verse 6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." You see what the Apostle Paul is saying? You, Felix, and the others, you're judging me. Well, the hope of the promise was given to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Agrippa, the scriptures that you've studied. That hope has been given. And I stand and I'm judged because I believe in that promise. And you see, he couldn't argue with that. He knew. Agrippa knew that salvation came not by the keeping of the law. He knew that God's people were justified by faith in the Messiah to come. The Old Testament spoke about this promise made unto our fathers that God would provide the seed of the woman. In the fullness of time, God would send forth his son. And he knew that, as all Jews who studied the scriptures, they knew that a Messiah would come, that he would be the consolation of Israel, that he would be the hope of his people. And he knew that personal salvation came through faith in the promise made to the patriarchal fathers that the Messiah would come, that Jesus Christ would come. He knew that. He had read of Daniel. He had read of Christ in the Psalms. And so as a Jewish convert, he would have believed in the resurrection of the dead. This is why Paul says in verse 8, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead, and he is the first fruits of all of them that shall rise. Why, King Agrippa, should this be a thing too incredible for you? You are supposedly a believing Jew." Let me ask you, are you like King Agrippa? You see, you've come along to this church. You know when you hear these things week after week, you believe the Bible, you will contend against the Jehovah's Witnesses and the truth. When it's evil spoken of, you will stand up for the truth. And yet, you're like King Agrippa. You know the truth. And I can speak to you clearly about the doctrine of sin. You know you're a sinner. I can speak to you about the great day of judgment. And the great day of judgment, even in Agrippa's mind, was a real thing. And the day of judgment to you is a real thing. It is something that you are so clear about. But yet you are like King Agrippa. You will not be saved. I can reason with you. You believe the Bible. You believe it. You don't believe in evolution. You don't believe in all of those lies. You know that's all false. I can speak to you about the doctrine of sin. You know that to be true. But yet, you're almost a Christian. So Paul spoke about the validity of the message of the gospel promised from long ago. And you believe verses such as Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. You believe that. But you're not a Christian. You see, he was a Jew because it suited his situation. He wanted to have favor with the people. And you can be somebody that wants to be favored with others. You want to look respectable. So you come to church. But you're not a Christian. Something else. If you look at verses 12 to 18, the Apostle Paul gives his own very powerful and striking testimony of being a Christian and how he was changed by God. Look at verse 12, and this is really before he became a Christian, and a testimony of actually how he became a Christian. And here he's speaking about when he was on the way to persecute churches, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom," now notice, "now I send thee," so he would be the apostle, "to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So you see, here is the conversion experience of the Apostle Paul. He had this encounter, this remarkable encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, blinded from this light from heaven, convicted of his sin as the great persecutor against the church, made aware of the true living God, God has changed him. Well, can it be that maybe even you have heard Christians, you've read of the Apostle Paul here, and you believe that he was converted himself. And you've seen the Lord remarkably convert people. You've seen lives changed. Or you may not have seen lives changed, but you can see that Christians are utterly different to everybody else in the world. And that surely is a remarkable thing. And yet you are just like King Agrippa, not a Christian. Perhaps you've even heard Christians say, well, I've heard God speak to me through his word, and how he speaks to them daily through his word. Of course, we don't hear him audibly, but we hear his word, and we have a real relationship with him, and that is undeniable to you. That is something that is tangible to you. That is something that is very real to your mind. You know, you trust Christians above all the other people in the world. You trust a Christian. You know his testimony is credible. You know his word is true. You know these people are a reality. You know they won't pant after your wife because they can be trusted. You know that you can trust them with your money. You know you can trust them. You know they are the people of God. And yet you're not a Christian. He saw this man. He believed his testimony. He never denied it. You hear Christians speak about how they've been convicted of their sins, how the Lord has changed their lives, how they have felt his assurance that they are going to heaven, that it is well with their souls, that they have been pardoned freely by a gracious God. You've heard them say all these things, but you're not a Christian like King Agrippa. Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. There's a third thing I want you to notice. King Agrippa here is also given proof of the uprightness of the Apostle Paul's life, his godly character, now as a true minister and the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the verse 19 with me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. In other words, what he's saying is, I've just told you, King Agrippa, that the Lord converted me. He saved me on that road. And he said to me, Paul, thou shalt be my apostle to the Gentiles. And thou shalt go into all the world and preach the gospel. And is this not what Paul is doing? I was not disobedient under the heavenly vision. I have obeyed, King Agrippa. And now all this trouble that has come to me is a result of my obedience to Christ. And that's one of the proofs, isn't it? That he is a converted man. That he has not chosen the easy way out. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Not an easy thing to do, especially when he got to places like Lystra, where he was nearly dead because of the stoning. Whippings, lashings, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch, Pisidia, Ephesus, the riots, other places, Iconium. The fact that he lived this life is proof and testimony that God is. God has done a real work in him. God is his motivation. And despite all the hardships, despite all the beatings, despite all the imprisonments, Paul bore the marks of his faithfulness in preaching the truth. And you see, King Agrippa, the reason now I'm in this situation is because I've been obedient. Because I belong to the one true saving religion. It's worth dying for, King Agrippa. Surely my life is a living epistle that God is real. You see, King Agrippa sees Paul's obedience. And you, dear friend, you have seen the obedience in other people's lives who are Christians. And yet you're not a Christian. He is now suffering. because he belongs to Jesus Christ. He is hated by the Jews and the unbelieving world. Look at verse 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. God is my strength. He's giving God all the glory. It's because of God I carry on. You see, Paul is making very clear that he is not the explanation of this. I continue daily unto this day, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none of the things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. In other words, King Agrippa, get back to your Old Testament. You say you're a Jew, believe what the prophets have said. You know they're right, but he's not a Christian. And what did the prophet say? Verse 23. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself. Now let me ask, are you like King Agrippa? Maybe you know faithful Christians, even in this church. Their lives bear testimony that God is. That he is real. They're not perfect, but there is something compelling about their lives. There is something compelling about them. They don't merely attach the name of Christ to their lives. For them to live is Christ. You witness them day after day. They are utterly different people to the other people that you know. They have a living relationship with the Lord. You see, this is what marks Christianity from all other religions. Other religions claim to have a knowledge about God, but they don't actually have a relationship with God. But Christians do, and you know it. But you don't have that. You don't have that relationship. They are living epistles known and read of all men. All the evidence is compelling. And you're almost a Christian. On that basis. But you're not a Christian. You're missing the mark. There's a fourth thing I want you to see, and that is this, that King Agrippa was convinced that Paul was true and the genuine article and not mad, as Festus is saying here. Festus, this procurator, is claiming that Paul is mad. Look at the verse 24. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You've studied too much. And then Paul replies, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Now notice verse 26. For the king, that is King Agrippa, knoweth of these things. He knows them. He studied the Old Testament. He knows everything I'm saying. But here is a man that has set himself up because of political power. He wanted to be a Jew so that he could be voted in. He knows all these things. And I speak before him freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. None of them. For this thing was not done in a corner. Well, what thing? Number one, that Christ suffered, that he rose again, and that he was seen by over 500 people. That's true. But also, the things that have gone on in Paul's life. None of this thing is hidden, but everybody knows about it. And you know, maybe somebody here tonight, you're just like King Agrippa. All the proofs you need are right there before you. Belief is not the problem. Look at what Paul says, end of verse 27, I know that thou believest. He asks him first the question, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? In other words, what the prophets would say about the Lord Jesus. And then he says, I know that thou believest. You see, that belief is not the problem. And belief is not your problem. Don't make that your excuse. Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And in a very little while, Paul, I might just be a Christian. And then Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. Not just almost, but altogether. Except I don't wish that you have these bonds, these chains, that you suffer the afflictions that I have. Now, what a great desire that is of the Apostle Paul. Now, again, it's not a matter of persuasion, is it? King Agrippa hasn't quite got it right here. He doesn't need persuading. It's a matter of the will, it's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Here is a man that has learned the Old Testament, has learned the Jewish customs, he is even seems to believe that there would be a Messiah, and here he's given the unmistakable evidence that there is, and that God has certainly changed the most wicked man at this time to be the greatest convert to the Lord Jesus. But that's not enough. It's not enough. How is it that he could be so convinced and yet not be a Christian? Well, I want to say it comes down to this one thing, but maybe other things. But the primary thing is that he was not willing to repent. He was not willing to repent. And to repent means two things. It means to come to God with a broken heart, broken spirit, and to turn and to renounce self and the world. He is like the man who I once saw in a flood. Of course, on the television. He was in a third world country, somewhere in Africa, I can't remember. But there was floods, I think it was perhaps Mozambique. And they have these sort of shanty houses built out of corrugated iron, and many of them are on stilts. But the floods were so great, and the rivers were just sweeping houses away. But this man prized everything in his house. So when the helicopters came, and the boats came to rescue this man, to take him out of his house, and to fly him away to rescue, he wouldn't go. He said, I'll stay in my house. Just me and my goods, this is all I have. This is my everything, this is my all, and my all I cannot part with. He prized those things more than his own life. And when they went back the next day, he was gone. Nowhere to be seen. And that's the problem here with this King Agrippa. It was all too much to give up. I wonder if that's you. He knew that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. And you know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know that. But you just can't let go. You see, probably there were four things I would suggest. Or maybe just three. Fear was one. He was a man that was mocking Paul. Festus said, Paul, you're mad. So he was in the presence of mocking Festus, and that would have made him very afraid if he turned to Christ. I'm a Christian. I believe these things. And then, of course, what would that mean? He would lose his position. He would lose his power. He would lose everything that the world was offering him. And maybe that's how you are. That little man in his little shack. With just a few goods, but there was a whole world out there. There's eternal life. But for fear, you hold on to what little you've got. And that, well, may be your pride. Something else, fortune. He loved money. That's why he went into this. These men were known for bribery, money. If I become a Christian, well, I have to tithe. Well, I have to give to the Lord. I have to give the Lord my time too. I have to give him daily prayers. Well, my dear friends, that's not a drudgery. That's not something that vexes our hearts. Isn't the one that has saved us from the wrath to come worthy of all of our love and praise and adoration? something else, fame. Well, his name would be defamed, wouldn't it? Fear, fortune, fame. Well, if you become a Christian, as Agrippa, if he became a Christian, what would Caesar think? What would your best friends think? Would they laugh at me? Would they mock me? Would they ridicule me? What a terrible thing to be almost a Christian. Where are you tonight, dear friend? You know and you understand the doctrine of sin. You believe in the validity of the gospel and of Jesus Christ, as did Agrippa. You know these things to be real. You've seen Christians. They've witnessed to you. You've seen that they are from above, not from this earth. You know they are different. They're not perfect, but you know they love him. You know they love Christ. You know the Apostle Paul loved Christ. Do you think that he went through all of this, whippings, lashings, beatings, stonings, because he loved pain or because he loved Christ? Because Christ is real and because Christ changed his life. You know all of that. And you've seen the power of God in the lives of other Christians. You yourself are convinced by their lives. You yourself are convinced by the life of the Apostle Paul. And yet you're almost a Christian. You know, you can argue with people who don't come to church that life has no meaning. If there isn't a God, and if there isn't a Savior, there's no ultimate meaning to life. If there isn't eternal life. You know that. You know that we are created by God. You know that we have fallen short of His commandments. You know that we have not come from apes or from some single cell. Your intelligence is far too great to believe that monstrosity of a lie. Yet you're almost a Christian. But the problem, as you see, is the will of the heart. Fear, fame, fortune, and self. I will not yield to Christ. I will not follow this one. I will not admit that I've been wrong all these years. Or maybe it's like that little man in his little corrugated shack out the middle of that great big floodplain. And all that you have, you won't let go. Well, little things you have, stop and ask, what do you have, really? Compared to eternity, what do you have? That's not worth giving up. What a fool you would be. What a fool that little man was. To say to the helicopters, to say to the boats, leave me alone. The next day he's gone. You see, the sad thing is, people don't repent. They don't turn. They don't follow Christ. Just as Agrippa, afraid of the Jews, afraid of friends. How does it end for Agrippa? Not very well. What do we read? The verse 30. And when he, that is Paul, had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. I want you to notice there, the king rose up. And in these days, this was the way in which a king concluded the business. He didn't even say, I'm finishing now. He just stood up and he walked off. That's it. What he was saying effectively is this, I'm ending this. This is the end. I will have no more discussion on the matter. I'll give it no more thought. It's over. And you know, history regarding this matter has repeated itself over and over and over again. People cannot give a logical reason why they do not turn to Jesus Christ. They just get up and walk away. And notice, it wasn't just Agrippa on his own, but it was others, Bernice and others with them. It was all over. And as far as we can tell from the Bible, King Agrippa never sought the Lord Jesus Christ. His life came to a tragic end. and hell was opened wide to him. And as far as we know, he's in hell now. And my dear friends, the scriptures say we need to learn from the past. The scripture says whatever was written from aforetime is written for our learning. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Don't fall prey to what Agrippa did. Just get up and walk out. You get up and walk out tonight and don't repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no telling what tomorrow may bring forth. Who knows what a day may bring forth? The Bible tells us that now is the acceptable time. Today, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, now is the time. When the rescue boat came back for that little man, he was gone. The floods had swept him away. Repent. This is something he was not willing to do. It's not a matter of persuasion. It's a matter of the heart. Yield yourself to Christ. You know these things to be true, but you must yield. God says in his word that he commands all men everywhere to repent. There's no salvation without repentance. Have you repented? Have you got a heart like Agrippa? My friends, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Those who see that they need salvation, they take it with two hands. And they lay hold on Christ for eternal life. They have run to him for refuge. You don't swan into heaven. You jump in with your whole heart. How tragic, you know, I was thinking, how tragic it would be if there's one here tonight that is swept away to a lost eternity this week, or this year, or this decade. And they would be able to say, Pastor Hetherington, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And yet you've heard the sermon. You know the Bible to be true. You know it all to be legitimate. And yet, you repeat exactly what King Agrippa has done. The Bible says of those that have perished, all of those historical counts are written for our example. Agrippa is written for your example, my dear friend. Never think that you're wiser than God. God is being kind to you tonight in urging you to turn to Jesus Christ, in urging you to repent and to believe the gospel. Now, I don't believe in browbeating people into the kingdom, but I do believe in pleading with men, entreating you to be reconciled unto God, because that's what the scripture tells us, to entreat others, to exhort. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing that the word of God. And you tonight have heard in your hearing the words of scripture. Don't get up and walk away like King Agrippa. And go to a lost eternity. Heaven awaits you, dear friend. What are you waiting for? Heaven awaits you. Christ receives sinners with open arms tonight. And he says, come unto me. Look and be ye saved. Look unto him. Look no further. But you know, hell's jaws are wide open too tonight. Which will it be? He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Well, what are you waiting for, dear friend? Tonight, come to him. Believe on him. Come full of repentance, and he will in no wise cast thee out. But he will show you that he is plenteous in grace. In the words of William Gatsby in his hymn 718 in Gospel Hymns, Pause My Soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head, but if still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Or do not walk away from Christ, for he will walk away from you. Come to him. Don't be almost a Christian, but be a Christian and follow Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen.